So we continue in our series on living a joyful Christian life. This morning we take a turn a corner, so to speak, in the series, heading toward the finish line in a few weeks. And we're going to start talking about how to cultivate, how to practice joy in your life. You may be surprised to find that you can actually choose to cultivate joy in the Christian life. It's not accidental, it's intentional. And it is grounded in your relationship with Christ. To the same degree, your relationship with Christ is vibrant and healthy, so will your experience and expression of joy in the Christian life. Last week, we talked about enemies of joy, enemies to your spiritual health that seep into your life. And when you recognize those, you can repent of those, you can confess, you can change, you can turn that over to the Lord. We talked about solutions for that. Oh, this morning, we're going to look not so much at the enemies that seep into our spiritual lives as what we allow to crowd our spiritual lives. What we allow in, we make ourselves busy, we make ourselves just fill up our lives with other things, and suddenly we wonder where the joy went. We wonder why we're not experiencing or expressing the joy of the Lord so much in our lives. And it could very well be that we've created so much, we put so much into our spiritual lives, there's not room there to thrive and develop that relationship with the Lord that we so need and desire to experience and express the joy of the Christian life. I was reminded of this week as I was at my computer here at the office and I was downloading and updating some books in my digital library on my hard drive and suddenly received the message that my hard drive was full. And it was talking about the computer, not me. Which was good to know, but my computer hard drive was full. And that's a little disconcerting because then it says to you, you know, here's a whole list of things you can delete to free up space on your hard drive. And I faithfully looked at the list. I even looked a little deeper, and no surprise, I couldn't find anything I wanted to get rid of. I like my stuff. And I wanted to keep it on there. I want to keep that stuff as much as I can. But it reminded me of sometimes the way we behave in our spiritual lives without maybe even realizing what we're doing. We add and we add and we add and we add until we're so busy the hard drive's full. And suddenly we realize the only way to cultivate a healthy relationship with the Lord, to experience the joy He wants for us to experience, is to start uncluttering, decrowding some of that stuff that we've let into our lives. But when we look at it, we say, well, I don't want to stop that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to get rid of that. I don't want to cease being that busy. As we're going to see this morning, the Lord Jesus Himself reminds us that joy in the Christian life, joy in Him, joy in the Lord, is a result of a healthy relationship with Christ, with the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. And the core of that, the hub of that, is living in the will of God. Now here's our problem. What we've done is we've added so many things that are our will to our lives that when God comes along and says, here's what I want you to do, we say, well, God, I'm too busy for that. God, I don't have margin for that. I don't have room for that. What's something else you want me to do that will fit my agenda? And Jesus expressly says, that's why you're not experiencing the joy of the Lord in the Christian life. Turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 15. We're going to return to a passage that we've already looked at in this series as we begin a few installments on how to practice joyful Christian living, how to cultivate joy in the Christian life. And this morning we're going to look at two of those ways that Jesus Himself says we can unclutter, we can practice spiritual disciplines and unclutter our lives, give us some margin to focus on the will of God and to experience and express the joy of the Lord in our lives. John chapter 15, we're going to read at verse 7. So look there with me. As Jesus teaches that the joy of the Lord is directly related to your healthy relationship with God, which you can cultivate. John 15, verse 7. Jesus says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. If you've not already done it, underline, highlight, put in bold, if you're on your device, those two little words, so that. Because it's the so that in this passage that matters most. So that you will have, he said, I've told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. It's a surprise sometimes to Christians, even some of us have been Christians a long time. It's a surprise to learn from Jesus that the Christian life is not supposed to be boring. It's not just all about duty. It's not supposed to be about drudgery. And if that's your Christian life, it's joyless. And if it's joyless, there's a problem. Because joy in the Lord is the common element of the Christian life. It is a common element that all of us should, one way or another, be familiar with, be experiencing, and be expressing. And Jesus says here, everything I've just told you in this passage, and he means all the way back to verse 1, but starting at verse 7 for us, everything I've told you in this passage is so that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be complete. Wow. So everything he says in John 15 to that point is for that purpose. It's the so that we're going to focus on this morning. The so that matters. The term translated complete in this passage means as much as possible. Jesus experienced full and absolute joy in the presence and the will of the Heavenly Father, because he practiced the will of God perfectly. Now, you and I are not going to do that, but it doesn't mean we can't do it at all. As much as possible, he says, as much as you are living in the will of God, your joy will be complete. My joy in you. You will experience what I experienced, Jesus says. And let this soak in. Jesus says, you will participate in joy in the Lord. You'll experience what I experience in my relationship with the Heavenly Father. That kind of joy you will experience when you live out the will of God. When you cultivate joy in your life by living in the will of God. That's an extraordinary statement. But we also see in these verses that Jesus is describing a reciprocal relationship between the believer, the Father, Christ, the believer, and the Father. There's a reciprocal relationship here, and it all hinges on living out the will of the Heavenly Father. And by living out the will of the Heavenly Father, we are practicing and cultivating joy in our relationship with Him. Again, we've said it often, but to the same degree you have a healthy relationship with God through Jesus Christ, to that degree you'll experience and express the joy of the Lord in your life. If a healthy relationship with God through Jesus Christ is lacking in your life, you're not experiencing His joy. To the same degree, that joy will lack in your life. And Jesus teaches here that the anchor of it is living in the will of God. Living in the will of God. So let's go back to this passage for a minute. And I want you to look with me at two ways that you can cultivate, Jesus Himself says, two ways that you can cultivate the joy of the Lord in your life and unclutter that spiritual life. And maybe that, I want to pause here and say, maybe that's what God's talking to you about already, that you realize you have cluttered up your life. You've crowded out a thriving relationship with God and the joy of the Lord in your life. Well, here's two ways that you can restore that joy, practice that joy in your life. The first one, Jesus says, is to stay in His presence. To stay in His presence. Verse 7 is a summary verse for everything else that He's talking about. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. If you remain in me, the term remain is sometimes translated abide. It very literally means stay. If you stay in me in my presence and I in you, because He's in the Father, then He says, my words are in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. But it begins with, Jesus says, remaining in Him. Now, this speaks of a habit of life. If you have a morning or evening devotional, good for you. If you have a quiet time with the Lord every day, good for you. Excellent. Do that. If you're not doing it, then do it. You're here in church and corporate worship, good for you. But those are not indicators that you have a healthy relationship with God, nor necessarily that you're staying in His presence. In fact, what the Bible teaches is your devotional time, your quiet time, your time in corporate worship, they do not fulfill abiding in the presence of God. Instead, they are extensions of it. They are reflections of it. You are here and in worship, and you have your quiet time at home and your devotional time at home, not as a substitute for staying in the presence of God, but as a reflection of the fact that you abide in Him. So if you are doing those things thinking, for example, let's say 7 o'clock in the morning, you have a 15-minute quiet time, good for you. But if then you close your Bible and your notebook and off you go and have another thought about God through the day, well, that's not staying in the presence of God. And what Jesus is talking about is cultivating a habit of abiding in Him, living, actually your life power comes from Him and the love of God in Christ. He is the source. He is the vine, and you are the one that you are sustaining, getting your sustenance, your spiritual sustenance from Him all the time. That's what it means to abide and remain in His presence. So Jesus expands on that because, like you, most people would say, well, how do I do that? That's what we like. We want some practices. How do I go about that? Otherwise, it just sounds like good philosophy, doesn't it? But the Bible is very practical about this because your relationship with the Lord is a very practical thing, lived out day in and day out. So how do you develop that habit? Well, first Jesus says you develop that habit, you cultivate that habit along with cultivating His presence by, first of all, you digest His teaching. You digest His teaching. When He says, my words remain in you, He is talking about the Word of God in you, the truth of God being the spiritual lifeblood of your existence. They remain in you as the presence of God. As you're in the presence of God, His words remain in you as well. The term translated words here, gives us our English word words, is a particular word in the Greek language to express what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the specific teachings of God throughout the Word of God, all of the Word of God, and the specific teachings that you digest from the Word of God. So when you study the Bible, when you have that time with the Lord, you're in the Word of God, and you're seeking out teachings from the Word of God, you digest that, you adopt that. As King David would say, he meditates on it day and night. For an example, let's say you have your quiet time in the morning, and you're old school, you get a 3x5 card, and there's a verse that really pops out to you because the Holy Spirit is applying that to your life, and you write down that verse on the 3x5 card, and you carry it with you through the day, and throughout the day, you pull it out, you memorize it, you meditate on it. That's what you're doing. It's remaining in you. You're digesting His teaching for that day. But He means all of His teaching, everything specifically He teaches the believer in living for Christ and in living the Christian life. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 that the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. I had a conversation with a friend many, many years ago, and he said to me, very interesting thing. Now, if you're like me, I highlight in my Bibles and I mark my Bibles. I got a Bible by my bedside, a Bible in or two in my office, and when I study with you, you get the idea. And we mark in those things. We highlight. He doesn't do that. It's kind of an interesting take on it. He doesn't mark in his Bible. And I said, why don't you ever mark in your Bible? Now, it's well-worn. He'd been using it a lot. It's well-worn. So why don't you mark in that? He said, well, the Bible itself says it's living and active. So every day when I open it, I don't want to go to something I underlined. I want to see what God has to say to me. Wow. Isn't that great? And whether it's your Bible's underlined or not, that truth remains. The Word of God is what the Holy Spirit uses to speak to you. Digest His Word. If you want to cultivate the presence of God and His joy in your life, you need to be in the Word of God, digesting it, studying it, paying attention. This is His Word. It's His instruction. And it's the only one. You're not going to get the Word of God anywhere else but in the Bible. In the Word of God. That's His Word. Secondly, Jesus says, along with digesting His teaching, practice active prayer. Practice active prayer. Now, he doesn't mean going around mumbling all the time in your prayer life, but it's okay to pray out loud. But what he means is, when he says, my words abide in you and ask whatever you will and it will be done for you, he means here's what's happening. You're abiding in Christ in that right relationship with him. You're digesting his word. As you digest his word, your prayer life begins to reflect the will of God in the word of God. Therein lies the problem with those of us who pray, God, please do this for me, but we're never in the Word of God to know what it is God will do for you. What God wants to do is your relationship so line up with His will already that when you're praying His will in His Word, and therefore it will be done. Why? Because we already know that's His will. And an active prayer life, this is what the Apostle Paul means in 1 Thessalonians 5 when he says, pray without ceasing. He doesn't mean go around mumbling. He says that your prayer life, your communication with God should be so active that you're always available to Him. Prayer is the conduit of your communication with God. It's the conduit. And when you go to pray, Christian, listen, when you go to pray, your objective is not to get God to do for you what you want God to do. That's the way most of us pray. When you are in prayer, you're not there to get stuff. You're there to get to know Him. He's not there to give you stuff. He's there to speak to you. Your first question in prayer is, God, what do you want me to do? And you open up His Word and He guides you through the answer. And then through the day, God speaks to your heart about what you've been talking to Him about. Does that mean God doesn't care about you? Not at all. Even Jesus Himself said, God cares about you more than the lilies of the valley, the birds of the air. Look how much He takes care of them. Of course He's going to take care of you. Of course. He already knows what you need before you ask, Jesus said. That's why the focus of your prayer life should be unburdening yourself to God and then hearing from Him what His will for you is. That's abiding in the presence of God. So the first way to cultivate joy in your life, staying in the will of God, experiencing what gives Jesus joy, the first way to do that is to stay in His presence by being in His Word and practicing an active prayer life. Now, Christian, listen, these are fundamental things for being a believer in Christ. And God might be already showing you these are lacking in your life. If the joy of the Lord lacks in your life, the reason the joy of the Lord lacks in your life is you're not cultivating a relationship with Him through the Word and through prayer. Now, right after that, Jesus reminds us the second way to cultivate, to practice joy in the Christian life is to obey His commands. And we've already been talking about obedience, but you first got to have the Word of God, and you've got to have prayer to know what His will is, to obey His commands. And when you start obeying His commands, you start experiencing His joy. You want what He wants. And just like Jesus, you start realizing the joy of participating in the will of God through obedience to what He says and to what He wants. This is what gave Jesus such great joy. His joy in serving the Heavenly Father was because He was fully in the will of God all the time. And He says, I want you to know what that's like. I want you to know what that's like. Look back at verse 9 for a moment. Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. In my love, remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in His love. Now notice there's that reciprocal relationship. The Father loves me, the Son of God, and I love you. You remain in my love, and you do that by keeping my commands. You abide, you remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in His love. He pictures a loving relationship demonstrated by commands. Now, by being obedient to commands. But notice what He's not saying that you earn the Father's love by being obedient to His commands. Or you don't earn Jesus' love by being obedient to His commands and to the Word of God. The term here translated love, of all the Greek words we have for translated into English as love, is that very significant word that means God's unconditional love. You're not earning his love, you're demonstrating love toward him. And that's what Jesus says. Just as I've kept my Father's commands, you keep my commands, you remain in my love, and you demonstrate that love. He says in John chapter 13, demonstrate your love toward me by your obedience. Those who obey God are showing their love for him. Miss Jane in the children's ministry moment this morning talked about writing cards, thank you notes in particular. And it just reminded me as we're coming into the holiday season, a lot of you guys are going to be, you're going to be sitting down, you're going to be writing Christmas cards and probably thank you notes after Christmas, right? Some of you are just going to go on social media. You know, that's the thing about social media now, we don't even have to remember birthdays anymore. We're just constantly reminded through notification, beeps, whirls, and whistles. And so we go on Facebook and we say, happy birthday, and get balloons that we didn't buy. We didn't shop for it. We didn't do anything for it. But show up, look at Facebook, and go, oh, happy birthday. But you know how it feels, don't you, when you get that handwritten note? When somebody sat down and wrote you a note. You know how that feels, don't you? The Bible teaches that your love note to God is your obedience to his word. You love God back by obeying his commands, by living in his will. And when you love God back by living in his will, you experience and express the same joy Jesus experiences when he lives in God's will, the Heavenly Father's will. And he says, I want that for you. Of all the things, think about it. Of all the things Jesus could say, I want this for you. Believer, I want this for you. This is what he said. I want you to know the same joy I know by living out the will of God and the love of God. I want you to know what that's like. To see God show up in your life, to see God participate in your life, to see God respond to your obedience to him. Jesus said, I want you to know what that's like. And Jesus, above all others, knew exactly what that was like because he was obedient all the way to the cross and the resurrection. He knew exactly the joy of the Lord and what that meant. And he wants you to know the same thing by obeying the commands of God. That's how you demonstrate that love relationship with him. And remember, it has nothing to do with your circumstances. There's a lot of stuff going on in your life, a lot of stuff going on in the world, that if you focus on that, you're not going to be joyful, or as the world says, you're not going to be very happy, are you? Several years ago, a Yale University professor named June Gruber wrote a paper. She studies happiness. Sounds like a fun job, doesn't it? And she published a paper on the pursuit of happiness. Now, she wasn't talking about our founder's document. She was talking about human nature. And she did a study on the pursuit of happiness, and she said it contradicts, her results contradicted what people typically think, which is, if I am pursuing happiness, I will be happy. That pursuing happiness automatically means I will find it. She said the big problem she found with that was that when people pursue happiness, they mean I want circumstances that make me happy, which almost never happens. But happiness is tied to circumstances. And she said the big contradiction of it all is, and this is her academic language, okay? Her academic language was, the pursuit of happiness is not adaptable to every condition or situation. Now, what she meant by that is, just because you're pursuing happiness doesn't mean the circumstances are going to go along with you. The circumstances are not there to make you happy. And if you tie your happiness to the circumstances, you'll almost never be happy. In fact, she concluded, there is a reverse effect. The more a person focuses on pursuing happiness, the less likely they are to be happy. Now, here was her conclusion. This is what really drew my attention. You're going to love this. Her overall conclusion was, if a person truly wants a joyful life, what they need are healthy connections in relationships. Don't try to find your happiness in the circumstances. find your joy in relationships. As far as I know, she's not a Christian, but wow. Because the joy, the one relationship that you will find joy in the most is your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. Your joy is not tied to the circumstances. Your joy is found in a love relationship in the presence of God with Jesus Christ. Stay in His presence, obey His commands, and enjoy what God can do through you. So the circumstances might be difficult, trying, struggles in your life. Okay, they'll lift. God will work through that. God cares for you. But if you're as obedient to the Father as much as you can be, you will participate with His joy, experience and express it as much as you are able. And you know what it's like for God to work through you. In a few weeks, we're going to see where Jesus, when Jesus says, "My joy," in the will of God, He used a very specific example. In a few weeks, we're going to see what that example is. I'm going to go ahead and tell you what it is. It's the cross. What had to be, by all accounts, should have been the worst circumstances of Jesus' earthly life gave Him the most joy. Because the Bible says He knew what was on the other side. Resurrection and our salvation. And for the joy that lay before Him, He was obedient to the cross. In that love relationship, you experience the joy of the Lord. If you have let the busyness, the difficulties, the struggles of life crowd out that joy, maybe it's time just to confess that to God. Let God start showing you how to cultivate that relationship with Him, how to digest His teaching, to practice that act of prayer, to be with Him and be in His presence every day. Let Him lift those burdens. Let Him redirect your life. Let Him show you in His Word what it is that He's calling you to do, and express and participate in the joy of the Lord just as He wants you to do. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, that might be where we are this morning. There might be believers in this room or at home. God, some of us know that we have added so much of our own will to our lives that, God, now we decline Your will. We're not obeying Your commands. We're not in Your Word. We're not praying actively. God, forgive us for that. And I pray, Father, You'd show us that. I pray, Father, right now You'd start showing us areas in our lives where we need to build that spiritual muscle. We need to work with You. And God, I pray that You would restore the joy of the Lord in our lives as we seek to practice those spiritual disciplines. We cultivate Your presence in our lives through Your Word, through prayer. And we actively seek to be obedient to Your commands and what You desire. Father, if right now You're showing us where we've not done that, we ask Your forgiveness. I pray for each one here, Father. There are decisions we need to make, commitments we need to make, changes we need to make, Father, choices we need to make to practice the joy of the Lord in our lives. Show us what that is, that we would make those decisions today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.